Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Dom time. Welcome in. Big issues, big guests. Now, you may remember about a year ago, it's not quite a year because it was after the fact of Nick Sandman being vilified nationally by a whole laundry list of people, the kids from Covington. You know, the causal element there were the black Israelites and then this Native American group wanders in. I mean, what are the odds, right? Kids are there, March for Life. The media, this is probably one of the top five worst that we've ever seen in the media. Because in my mind, these kids, they're kids after all, right? Because of the MAGA hat and everything else, became the surrogate for vitriol, including one guy talking about the most punchable face he's ever seen. And we had on attorney Robert Barnes, who struck me as a guy who was optimistic and skilled at getting at this. But I know how difficult defamation is and things of that nature. It's a difficult course. Well, he's a guy that has now gotten this settlement with CNN. But that does not end the story. Let's go back to Robert Barnes. Mr. Barnes, welcome back to Philadelphia. And again, congratulations and thank very much for joining us today.
Oh, happy to be here.
Well, the last time we had you on and my producer pulled up too, there were quite a laundry list of other people that you're going to cross. But I guess the first question I have is, you know, I'm a law school dropout, as I told you when we had you on. But I realize how difficult it was. Sullivan versus the New York Times. I won moot court on that, which I'm really proud of, arguing that. Defamation and what the media did here, even for a kid like this, is very difficult. Why do you think you got this settlement?
So, well, the settlement was obtained by Nick Sandman's counsel, which is Lynn Wood and some other lawyers. Basically, what we have is we have three different sets of lawsuits, three different sets of lawyers, three different sets of clients. So I represent 10 Covington families whose goal is different than some of the other objectives. Some people are looking. I think the reason for the settlement that CNN did is because the judge reconsidered his ruling in the Washington Post. He reversed his ruling. We were in front of the judge on a bunch of other cases at the same time, and so we got the opportunity to argue in front of the judge that all of that his prior ruling on the Sandman cases, which we were not handling, the judge was wrong on based on the 10 cases that we had in front of the judge. And the judge agreed with that and ultimately reversed his ruling on Washington Post, which meant he was going to make CNN stay in the case and go through discovery, make NBC go through the case and go through the discovery, so that Sandman's lawyers in Sandman's cases were able to pursue what they were trying to pursue, because we were able to get in front of them on our separate set of cases where we're going after individuals. Sandman's targeting institutions, we're targeting individuals. So you have different lawyers pursuing different legal strategies, but with the same ultimate mutual objective of trying to get the media to not do this ever again.
All right. Now, I'd like the individuals maybe even more, because we know maybe a corporation, as ridiculous as this is, can suck it up depending upon the settlement. But if you can get individuals to be more responsible in this, and some of the things were outrageous, maybe that will bring a halt to this. Because I don't know in your experience, Robert, but, you know, you got to think, going after some high school kids in this manner, we're not dealing with adults, we're not dealing with hardened veterans where they don't care and they defame them, they say anything. We're dealing with kids after all.
Oh, yeah. Some of my clients were 12 years old at the time.
Wow.
So it's extraordinary. They went after basically about 40 Covington kids. About 15 to 20 of them ended up being identified by photograph. Then they were subsequently doxxed, thanks to Kathy Griffin calling for them to be doxxed. A Kentucky gubernatorial candidate on the Democratic side helped facilitate the doxxing and attack them locally. Raisa Aslan green-lit public calls for violence against all of them, He put up Salmon's face and said, isn't this the most punchable face? But what he did was basically call for violence against all the Covington kids. That's how it was interpreted. And that's how people acted on it. My clients received death threats, threats against their safety, threats against their future, threats against their family, threats against their siblings. Many of them had to take security protocols. I mean, here you are, a young teenage kid, and you're having to take security protocols because of what celebrities and journalists and high-profile and politicians did, like Elizabeth Warren, who's now a leading candidate for the Democratic nomination for the presidency. So the reason why I targeted individuals is that in my prior experience in this field, that gets you more of a remedy. But my clients are not so much focused on monetary remedy. They want this to never happen again to anybody like them ever again. And so the best approach for that is to make individuals personally accountable and responsible.
I like that. That's exactly, I think, the approach that works. But what is the hurdle here? This appears to be open and shut. Is the hurdle that we don't want to chill the media? Is the hurdle agenda that these are unsympathetic figures, maybe to certain people? Because to the nation, to your point, I think teenagers in this situation would wildly, in polling and all, be sympathetic figures, right? That you don't do this to them.
Absolutely. I think common sense is that this was outrageous conduct. Where the law and common sense don't always overlap is that there's aspects of this that are novel. So, for example, in the case of this will be the first major doxing case that's ever been brought. So while doxing has become an increasing phenomenon, no one has yet to bring a suit based on it. So we brought invasion of privacy and other claims based on doxing. A second level of defense is that they claim that you can't bring a doxing case and a defamation case. So if they lie about you and destroy your reputation in one community, try to dox you in another community, somehow you're not supposed to get remedy for either because they did both. So that's one of their legal defenses. Senator Warren and Congresswoman Allen that we sued got the federal court to dismiss on grounds that if you're elected to the Senate or Congress, you have a new right to lie and libel anyone you want, anywhere you want, without anyone being able to sue you ever, which is a ludicrous interpretation, in my view, of sovereign immunity. But that's how they got the district court to bite on that. So that's going up to the federal Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, where we hope to establish new precedent that just because you get elected to Congress doesn't mean you get to libel your political adversaries or your personal adversaries.
Well, here's the other side of it, or even more prominently, President Trump has talked about this. And look, I don't practice law like you did, but as I said, I study that a lot. He's right. A public figure like a president, particularly Trump, name recognition before all that, celebrity status, you can almost do anything. I don't see courts coming back on this. But if you win for these Covington kids, maybe there's a pushback. Maybe some sense of reality will return to what is a runaway system here.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, when this all started, I was on vacation in Mexico, just put out a tweet that if anybody wanted to sue Maggie Haberman, I'll represent him for free, and then the whole thing blew up. But the first thing we did is we gave everybody a 48-hour notice that if you didn't delete your tweet or delete your wrong comments or correct it or retract it, if it was verbal or on a video, then you're going to get sued. And it was extraordinary as it showed the power of the capacity of the legal system to make a meaningful difference, because about 90% of the people who had lied and libeled these kids, even people like Jake Tapper, suddenly reversed themselves. Even Ilhan Omar even reversed herself. So it showed the capacity to make a difference in these kind of cases. And we brought the cases we did bring because there was a group of people like Maggie Haberman at the New York Times, like Kathy Griffin, like Matthew Dowd and Anna Navarro, who had refused to issue the requested corrections or retraction. So hopefully this will establish important case law in a wide range of legal areas about immunity and doxing and defamation, but also in the process make sure individuals understand that if they do this to anybody, they can be subject to personal responsibility, can't hide behind a big institution, can't hide behind a big insurance company. They got a right to check themselves if they want to go down this route.
Well, I couldn't be more thrilled. This is very, very good news, and I hope that we can stay in touch with you as this develops. Do you have any timelines? I know these things grind on Robert Barnes very slowly, but sometime in 2020, you think you'll see some movement on this?
Yes. First, there was some in early March in the state court in Kentucky. They're going to be having hearings on all the different motions to dismiss. We're up against the, if you go through a list of the biggest media defamation law firms in the country, we're up against pretty much all of them. There's, you know, they've all the big defendants have lined up, all these big powerful law firms. So that will be the first establishment. The state court will decide whether we can go forward against those individual defendants in state court in March. And then probably sometime this summer, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals will decide whether Senator Warren is above the law of libel or not. So that's the immediate timeline for the big case that's upcoming.
Well, to be continued. Robert Barnes, thank you so much. Thanks for that full report today.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.